That's right. It is Wednesday afternoon here on BBSRadio.com, and you are listening to the TNT News Hour, the trusted news trader. News like you've never heard it before on mainstream, and that's because we're not mainstream. We're at BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff. I'll be with you for the next hour, and we'll be talking about some things going on in the world, things that they don't want us to know, but we find out about anyway. And if I can be a reason for that being a truism, then so be it. So nice to have you here with us this afternoon. I'm going to let the music roll a little bit, just because I think that's a way to show you and show the world that we are not mainstream, that we can deliver an important message and still have a good time. I am receiving or entertaining calls from the listeners this afternoon, and on this date of March the 19th, there's a lot happening in the world. You wouldn't know it by watching the mainstream, which is why you're listening to BBS.com and the TNT News Hour. And I'd like some input from the listening audience, those of you who know what's going on, those of you who have some comments about what's going on, those of you who have some questions about going on, those of you who have no clue about what's going on. Call in toll-free, 877-876-5227. Again, if you're not looking at your computer screen and you've either got a photographic memory or a piece of paper and a pencil or a pen, and I guess I can include a napkin there, if you're in a restaurant and you've got your little Wi-Fi with you, then by all means, call 877-876-5227, toll-free, and we'll talk to you. Now, what are we going to talk about today? Well, there's a lot of things, and I wanted to share something that sort of came to my consciousness yesterday. Just looking at what's happening around the world, I do the surfing thing a little bit. Some people call it browsing, but I do it with intention. And occasionally, I will stumble across a very interesting article. I will find something that is rather revealing, worth sharing, something that can be tied into events that are occurring in the world. And I want to be a bit different in the approach to how we handle the news. We have to realize that news, as it is today in the United States and in many other governments, is nothing but propaganda. In fact, there's an irony here, and the propaganda that was used to control us in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now even into the 2000s, and we're rapidly approaching the year 2010. It's only a couple of years away. Time is really flying. All throughout these years that I've just mentioned, these decades, we have been told that the communist countries are propagandas machines, propagandized news, propagandized information designed to keep the people from knowing the truth. This is what we were told here in America. You were told this in the schools. You were told this on the streets. You were told this in public places, both in churches and in your homes, because your parents, depending on exactly when they were born, your parents most likely heard the same thing when they were in school. And if they didn't learn it in school, they learned it at work. They learned it through the course of their lives and raising a family and becoming conscious, feeling human beings, if you want to call them that. Now, in the process of doing that, they have information that they know to be true, and they have information that they doubt. But because everyone follows, sort of like the sheep follow the shepherd, they stick with the mainstream thought patterns, and therefore the communists are bad. Now, we're not judging communism here. We're just talking about mind control and what's been done. You can talk about the communists, and where are they? Well, we were told they were in the Soviet Union, that Russia took over all these countries, and they formed this country called the Soviet Union, and all these people had this sinister belief that they were going to rule the world, and they were our enemies. And so we bought into the concept of war. And what does war do? War makes money for both sides, because they shoot bullets, and they have to have guns to shoot bullets, and they drop bombs, and they have to make the bombs, and they have to have airplanes or other devices that shoot these bombs in different sizes as projectiles that explode, cause massive numbers of people to die, buildings to explode, land to be destroyed, bridges to fall, roads to be torn up into little pieces, becoming useless so that their buddies can go in and clean up and make a fortune repairing all this stuff. It's sort of a stupid, idiotic child's game. In fact, one of the hosts on this show, Reverend Roxy Hampton, not on this show, but on this network, who has the Mission Impossible show, and is a frequent guest also on the Insight Hour with Dr. Len Horowitz, calls Satan stupid and those that operate with the nefarious purposes, the demon-infested mentality of ruling the world and making everyone become a slave and buying into all of this malarkey that these people are our enemies, and therefore we have to protect ourselves. We have to spend money buying weapons, and eventually we have so many weapons that we have to start using them. And it's the process of using and all of the money that the fat cats make, what we call the military-industrial complex. These people plan these wars so that they can plan how long they're going to make money, how long they can sit back and devise the next war. And they get into situations over time where they're not happy making $100 billion, and they're not going to be happy making $200 billion. So they create a series of wars until they make $1 trillion. In fact, trillions of dollars are spent, and trillions more on top of that are made. So they kind of grease each other's palms, and they create all of these scenarios, and we buy into them. They sell it to us as history. They sell it to us as current events, which in the mainstream media, in the mainstream radio, and in most of the printed materials, such as newspapers and magazines and newsletters, it's put out as propaganda to cause you to believe in something. To cause you to believe in something is quite different from causing you to know something. Lack of education, lack of knowledge, lack of experience, and let's say founded in ignorance, is going to support a belief system. That is the paradigm that we are in. The paradigm on planet Earth is a slave paradigm. Whether you want to acknowledge that or not is your business. I would like to think that anyone listening to BBS Radio is awake, at least spiritually awake. And if you're spiritually awake, then you understand higher concepts. It's not very difficult then to understand the more basic concepts of limitation in a three-dimensional construct, in a three-dimensional reality. Now, I'm getting a bit metaphysical here, and that wouldn't you like it if they did that on the mainstream news, if they really told the truth and described how things are and told you why they are that way? They just tell you what you are to believe. What they tell you in the news is scripted, it's designed to tell you how to think, how to act, how to feel, so that when they do what they're going to do, which has already been planned sometimes hundreds of years ago, then you will respond just as they had planned. So there's a multiple effort on many levels in many places, all touching some part of your life that cause you to react a certain way. And what happens? Why do they want you to react? Because then, like the sheep following the shepherd, they can get you used to following a certain path and seeing the same scenery time and time again until you become familiar with it and even comfortable with it. Then, when they shock you with an event such as 9/11 or the Oklahoma City bombing or the mass killings that went on at Virginia Tech several months ago or the Columbine shootings, or any of these anomalous events that just seem to spawn out of nothing, really, they were secretly working on these things in the background, creating these, so that when they push a button, when they issue a sound or a visual image, and the characters that are going to play a role in that activity pick up that message, it's like turning on a switch, and they become part of that event. The media immediately spins the information. The media is given the information as to who this person is, why they did this, when in reality they can't even admit to you that they don't tell you the truth. They're all of a sudden experts on this, just like they became instant experts on Al-Qaeda, on Osama bin Laden, particularly on 9/11. I found it unbelievable that they could come up with so much information so quickly. And the media could come up with this information, but the government couldn't stop the attacks. It speaks volumes about the reality and about propaganda. Pardon me. Now, if you trust that what I'm telling you is true, and you don't have to believe what I'm saying. In fact, I don't want you to believe it. My intention is to put the information out there, and if you can prove it to yourself, then you will know it. You will be eons ahead of the game. Where do we find our power when we are under oppression, when we are being targeted to become slaves of what they like to call a new world order society? And this is not a fear-based talk, by the way. This is we're thinking about this, and we're facing this, and we're going to talk about it for a moment, and I'm going to share my personal thoughts on some issues. Where, again, I'll ask the question maybe in a slightly different way. Where are we going to find our salvation, this escape or this solution, this resolution to this madness that we're experiencing? Do we not see the cycles that the dollar goes up, the dollar goes down? The price of goods keeps climbing. It never comes down to a reasonable price. It never does. Oil, when I was a young boy, was as low as 18, 19 cents a gallon. I can remember that. Now, I'm not that old. There are those that always remember being somewhere around there who are much older than me. The point is that it seems like after 9/11, all of a sudden it was okay to keep gold well over a dollar and a half. In fact, it didn't take it long to get to $2. And here it is well over $3. And I'm speaking about a gallon of gas, regular unleaded, the cheapest gas. It used to be that diesel, which is actually easier to produce than regular unleaded, is now more expensive. It's almost a dollar more expensive per gallon than a gallon of regular unleaded. Diesel has historically been cheaper. Why has it been cheaper? Well, there are a lot more people driving cars, and if they charge more money for a lot more people, they make a lot more money. It's very simple mathematics. You don't even need to calculate numbers with that one. Oil is one of the means of controlling the population. It controls the manufacturer of products. Look how many plastics we have. Plastics are a byproduct of petroleum refinement. Then we have food packaging and all kinds of packaging. Everything you buy has some element of plastic attached to it. Even in labels, they're putting the plastic. So oil plays a big role. At one point, it was, even though we were told the dollar is the international currency of preference amongst those from other countries, that there was an agreement that the dollar was going to be the medium of exchange, oil has become the medium of exchange. Now, there was a time when gold was the medium of exchange. Why is it not the medium today? In fact, where is all the gold? The gold is missing. They took the gold from the the American citizens in the United States in 1933. They made it a very severe penalty for you to be caught with gold in your possession. Huge fine and a long-term prison sentence. Knowing full well that you were going to pay, first of all, they were going to take the gold from you. They were going to penalize you from having it when the intention all along was to steal it. And they got permission to steal it from you by creating a law that says, you're no longer permitted to have this. Instead, we're going to create paper out of thin air through the Federal Reserve, which is not federal at all. It's just a name. It's no more federal than Federal Express. And so what they did is they got your permission, basically your agreement, to say, I'll take a worthless piece of paper and I'll give you my gold, which has value. Here, take it. I mean, if you really believe or you know that paper is more valuable than gold, why do you wear a wedding ring made of gold or some precious metal with jewels on it? Why don't you wear a paper ring? After all, because we're honoring money as if it's gold, and it's not. If it were, you would wear a paper ring. You would get a $1,000 bill, and you'd fold it up. You know, like kids have this nifty way of making paper loops and things like that. You'd figure out a way to fold that up and put it around your finger. Now you've got a $1,000 wedding ring made of paper, and it's money. So therefore, now, some of you are saying, oh, that's ridiculous. I wouldn't do that. Number one, it would tear and fall off. I'd lose it. I'd be out $1,000. You'd be out $1,000, but you'd be out your ring as well. Funny thing now, the gold has a fixed price or a fixed value. They manipulate the price, and the value of the dollar always goes down. Because it is a debt instrument. There is interest that has to be paid for that piece of paper. Someone printed it out of thin air, and they're not even from this country, and they don't represent anything about this country, and yet they have you working overtime to pay off the debt that's created from thin air. Doesn't seem equitable to me. It doesn't seem like the reason why we were put on this planet to make someone prosper to our detriment. It does not make any sense. If you can say it makes sense, then fine. You deserve to run for the presidency. Watch how long you last. This is why we have the problems in the world we have today, and they've never been solved. And then we have the problem, these problems in the oil company, a phony energy crisis. It's staged. It's scripted to be that way. Oil is at an all-time high in the history of the planet, being used to blackmail us, to extort us, basically. It's what it is. They could easily sell oil for 50 cents a barrel. I've had Lindsay Williams on my show a couple of weeks ago on Evident Footprints talking about the non-energy crisis. He sat in on the private meetings with the oil companies up near Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. And they talked about how by a certain year, oil was going to reach $100 a barrel, then $150 a barrel, maybe $200 or $300 or $400 a barrel. These people are insane. There is no point where they will be satisfied with having enough money. Ask yourself the question, how much money does one need or require to reach satisfaction or happiness? And the fact that they're still raising the prices tells you that as much as they're making, as much as they're taking in, it's not enough. How can they require so much money? For what purpose? To what end? So it's all about money. It's about money in the banking system, in our economic system, of course. I mean, that's what money is. Oil has become a commodity, and so have drugs. Drugs, illegal drugs, as well as the so-called legal drugs, which are really more dangerous than illegal drugs. Never seen anyone smoked marijuana go out and murder 100 people. Yet, we see people on certain kinds of pills prescribed by doctors, tested supposedly by the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies that manufacture them, go out and murder people. Of course, there are other extenuating circumstances around those events, but the drugs enhance that because pharmaceutical drugs are toxic. And the drug companies, just like the oil companies, are overcharging. And by the way, just like the Federal Reserve, which is not federal at all, it's not part of our government, and wasn't written into the Constitution. When they instituted the Federal Reserve, they violated our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. They did that from the day they created the Federal Reserve Act in 1913. My goodness, it took 3 years for the news of that to come out. It wasn't until it came out in a magazine, I think it was called the Forbes Weekly at the time, that it came out that they had created this Federal Reserve 3 years before. Why was it a secret? Well, it's intended to take our country down, period. And that's what we're experiencing now in the economy. In another aspect, in relationship to overall assets that the country has and where the money is, how it's being created, how it's being stolen, diverted, hypothecated, criminally, and totally disregarded by the mainstream media. And again, I repeat myself, this is not mainstream. This is bbsradio.com. This is the TNT News Hour. So you are going to hear the truth that you don't hear on the mainstream. In fact, you're going to hear a lot that you don't hear on the mainstream. Now, what is the center of my topic today? Well, if we can grasp the fact that the media puts out propaganda and has an agenda that they don't want us to know about, just like the oil company's agenda, just like the Federal Reserve's agenda, just like the pharmaceutical company's agenda, just like the military-industrial complex agenda, and I talked about that. All these companies or these fields that I mentioned in industry, which are controlling the planet, are also the ones that make money when there's war. And don't we have a couple of wars going on right now, and they're threatening to start another one in Iran. We've got one in Iraq, which was started on bogus information, with just an intent to go in there and rob the Central Bank of Iraq. There was the intention to take control of the oil. We have more than enough oil in our country. We don't need to be stealing oil from other countries, number one. And when did this begin, that it's okay to just go into a country and just murder people? They want a one-world government, and in the process of creating it, they're destroying part of the one world. It makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? Well, we if you've been following me and keeping up with what I'm saying, and again, you don't have to leave me. I prefer you know these things. Do some research. Look into petroleum companies. You can Google words. You can think of a topic you want to research and almost create it yourself. You can create a search pattern and put oil companies or pharmaceutical companies. Put a question in there. How did pharmaceutical companies begin? You'd be surprised what might come up. And then read. We want everything delivered fast food style to us today. And fast food is not healthy for you. Neither is fast information. Now, the speed at which we can transmit information is very important, as long as it's used in a manner in which you allow yourself to assimilate the information. You're being bombarded by all kinds of adverse information these days, and you need to be able to sort that out. One good way to do that is to read. Read at your own pace. I did some browsing as I started out in the beginning of this show, and I came to learn that publisher, editor, and author Christopher Story, whose website, www.worldreports.org, has for the past few years been reporting on the international money scandal of history on the planet, and that is the Wanta, what is being called Wantagate, the Wanta plan embezzlement by various governments and various factions in secret bank circles around the globe, primarily being orchestrated here in the United States. It's money that was targeted for our treasury. Now, I'm talking about the principle here, not so much we should have this money. If we shouldn't have it, no one should have it. It's my argument there. It's not about, if the money doesn't exist, no one has it. That's pretty simple. We're all on an even playing field. Why is it when there is money, only the government has it? Why doesn't it belong to the people? After all, isn't this country about the people? Or is it about the government? You see, when we get into the propaganda now, we've been told how the Soviets were propagandizing their people, or the Chinese were propagandizing their people, and socialist companies were propagandizing their people. And we were fed this, that it happened everywhere else, but it doesn't happen here because we have a democracy and we can vote. So we became blind to the fact that we were slowly being put to sleep with the same kind of propaganda. And while they were doing that to the mainstream people, the people who had gone to school, had jobs, owned companies, were educated, and whose children were educated, all of a sudden they started removing certain elements of the educational process and replacing it with mind control and psychological conditioning and these new thought paradigms that are really designed eventually to disempower you, because it's all about control. It's all about control, and it's all about money. So you follow the money trail. So if you're still with me on this, Ambassador Wanta had raised $27.5 trillion, that's TR, trillion dollars, $27.5 trillion through, coincidentally, destabilizing the Russian ruble. That was the currency of preference of the Soviet Union. Now, the tail, as it goes, and that's T-A-L-E, tail, the story, as it goes, is that Ambassador Wanta was imprisoned for a period of time after having gotten all this money together, extradited to the United States as an ambassador and as a treasury agent, as an intelligence agent, working for the U.S. government, had committed no crime, but was extradited to New York, released, and then rearrested and sent to the state of Wisconsin for a 15-cent tax, a so-called 15-cent tax that had been due since the early 1980s. And they fudged a setup and had him thrown in jail. And then three presidential administrations went after the funds. Now, I've talked about this on Evident Footprints ad nauseum. I've written about it on my website, directlightproductions.com, and Christopher Story has posted it on his worldreports.org website for a number of years, and I've written about it, and I've posted a few articles of my own on my site, one I had published with the Idaho Observer. And it's gotten wings from time to time as the evidence that this is really happening, that this is really going on now, is becoming more clear. We had evidence this past week. This is a news item, not talked about in the real context of what's actually going on. They blame it on the housing scandal or the mortgage, what's being called a mortgage scandal. They have to pinpoint it in a direction so your nose is not facing the direction where the problem lies. So they blame it on the mortgage industry, that people who should not have gotten loans got loans. They don't tell you how many billions or trillions of dollars they made on interest rates. They just say, these people defaulted on their loans and their houses have been foreclosed, and they never should have gotten these loans. I mean, you have over 2 million people whose homes are being foreclosed. And so that means that the finance companies aren't getting the money they expected. So the money is somewhere else. It's not in their hands. Where is it? Well, when you look at the dividends they pay each other for running these organizations and all the payoffs, the political payoffs and bribes that occur, or the money laundering that occurs, and that could be in a variety of areas above and beyond what we've already discussed in the first half hour of this show. It's no wonder that a company like Bear Stearns, that a short time ago was selling their stock was valued at over $159 a share. It dropped to something around $30 a share and was that value last Sunday. And J.P. Morgan comes in and buys it for $2 a share. I mean, there's a loss of money, or there's a loss of value, or there really is no loss at all. If these are all hypothecated funds, if these funds are created out of the paper money that we talked about, is there a value? I mean, if there is a value in that paper money, in and of itself, not what they tell you you can acquire physically with it or materially with it, but I'm speaking about an intrinsic value that makes it worth having. You would be wearing that as a wedding ring, or jewelry on your wrist and around your neck and then your ears and wherever else you like to have jewelry on your person. But it's not practical to do that with paper for a lot of reasons, and you wouldn't do that anyway. It doesn't look nice. It's not something that shimmers or gleams or sparkles like gold does. And in fact, you have to ask yourself the question, why did they take away the gold? Why was it a crime to own gold? Why? You're on the planet like they are. What special dispensation do they have to be on this planet and have gold in their possession and you don't? Is that because they say they make the rules? These are supposed to be representatives, our servants of the people. That's what we were taught, you see. So I've just proven to you that the media and the educational system and the military industrial complex and the corporate system, including the stock market now, let's add the stock market in there, are all corrupt. They're all in the same bed together. They've all been compromised and propagandized. Why the stock market? It's about the money. They literally are getting you to put money in things where you're not even getting anything more than maybe a token piece of paper that says that you have some value there. And they can lose it all, and you can lose it all. It's like people who have certificates that they own gold, but they don't have the gold in their possession. The gold is stolen. You know, if you have the opportunity to have gold in hand, that's what I would recommend to you, is to physically have it in your hand. You don't put it in a bank. You don't put it in a safety deposit box. You cannot trust these people because they have created this monster. They're the creators of it. They're the operators of it. And guess what? When it goes down, they go down. So we have a solution now, sort of sneaking up from behind the rocks. And that solution is, if their system is created out of nothingness, can't we create a system out of nothingness? What would happen if we created a system out of tangibility? We would have a system that wouldn't crash. So why do we give them power? Now, Christopher Story said that he was going to cease after his 100th article about Wantagate. He was going to cease writing. It wasn't practical anymore to just keep reiterating how corrupt these people are, but he was going to keep an eye on worldwide financial corruption and report it as he sees it, as he learns about it, and share it with us, so that we're not entrapped anymore. That's the reason why he wrote these stories, is to bring the truth to light. No one in the mainstream media would report this, and because they wouldn't, there were those on radio and some of the Patriot networks and on websites, some of the Patriot websites, oh, this can't be true. This is a hoax. They put that disinformation out there so you will say exactly that, that it's a hoax, that it can't be true, because you don't believe it. You're still trapped in the belief system, and you're trying to make sense out of something that is not real, that is only an assumption. You don't have the facts. You don't have the knowledge to back up your belief, which would not be belief if you had the facts. It would be knowledge. So they have you chasing your tail in a little hamster cage, basically, is the thought process that you're using to figure out what's going on here. And I'm trying to point out to the listeners, not to insult you, but to point out that this is the method that they use. So Mr. Story, in saying that he wasn't going to be writing about it, kind of closed the chapter, in a sense, on Wantagate. Now, he has a massive book coming out. But then I thought, well, I've been following this case. I've written about it. And it's only right, since it's really an American issue. It's going on in our country. And I have an understanding. I have a grasp of it. In fact, I've been able to cause many other people to understand and gain knowledge about this. So the fact that this money, while Liawanta was in prison, while it had been ransacked, basically, by the powers that be, all of a sudden, Ambassador Wanta, who had been said by the CIA and other government factions to have been dead for a number of years, got caught with their hand in the cookie jar. Wanta produced records. Massive records came out showing that these accounts existed, that they were being raided, that they were used for the personal enrichment of a handful of people. And we're talking about trillions and trillions of dollars, really, that could change the whole world. just the fraction of money that Wanta was going to pay on a $4.5 trillion settlement. $1.575 trillion in taxes to go into the U.S. Treasury would earn $200 billion a day and would keep increasing every day. That number doesn't stay fixed. It would increase. And so over time, in a very short time, we would be the richest country on the face of the planet. In fact, it would set up a great economic system where the whole world could be prosperous. And we've been so propagandized, so mind-controlled, so brainwashed, and I brought this up, I'm not trying to make you feel bad, that we don't see this. We're caught in the belief system, and therefore we don't believe that this story has any validity. We don't believe that this story can be true. It's beyond our comprehension to imagine. It's beyond our comprehension to imagine how much $1 trillion is, let alone that someone stealing it. That becomes even more unimaginable. Well, I wrote a piece as a follow-up, and I think it bears reading on the show before we run out of time. It's going to take me a couple of minutes. Bear with me. It's a response, and it's my second Wantagate article, my massive Wantagate article, where I'm bringing out facts. And I want you to consider the impact that these facts, and they can be backed up, have on your life and the life of your children or the life of your children's children and your friends and your neighbors and everyone that's ever walked in or out of your life and will in the future. This is called The End of a Modern Day Folktale. While conducting my daily research for new information on the scandal now known as Wantagate, I learned through the 100th posting of International Currency Review publisher-editor Christopher Story, FRSA, that he would no longer be reporting on the greatest financial crime in history. How do I, or we, feel about this development? Should I, or we, be shocked, disappointed, or relieved? As I, or we, contemplate the future, especially that of the United States of America, it appears that Mr. Story, who should win a Pulitzer Prize for his work, has finally thrown the ball to our side of the court. It is now up to me or us to squarely face up to my or our responsibilities in assuring that the scandal doesn't end up being swept under the rug, like so many other traitorous acts we have endured throughout our history. We will certainly pay a price for our ignorance and our apathy. Now that's my introductory note before I actually get into the meat of the article. Again, the article is called The End of a Modern Day Folktale. Since 2003, the saga of Ambassador Leo Emil Wanta has been posted on internet websites around the world, with little or no consequence to the criminal money launderers posing as politicians, bankers, stockbrokers, and investment consultants here in the United States. Leading the way, International Currency Review publisher and editor Christopher E.H. Story, FRSA, kept us apprised of the sometimes daily events as they unfolded, primarily through several massive volumes of the aforementioned financial periodical, and his www.worldreports.org website postings. Story was in contact with Ambassador Wanta and his Ameritrust Group, Inc., Vice President Treasurer Michael C. Cottrell, MS, and various international contacts who funneled information, confirmed or denied Story's reports, as well as rogue elements of the international intelligence and financial communities who periodically threatened his life. As readers around the world followed Story's Wantagate reports, one reoccurring theme became apparent. The mainstream media in the United States had been complicit, and still is, in the cover-up of massive financial theft, corruption, embezzlement, extortion, blackmail, and money laundering of funds per President Ronald Reagan's Executive Order 12333, intended to be repatriated on the books into the U.S. Treasury. You may still be asking yourself why the propagandized, mind-controlled, compromised, and complicit mainstream media failed to report anything on the scandal to date. The answer is found in the previous sentence. As difficult as the sum of $27.5 trillion is for the average mind to imagine, let alone comprehend, the theft of the proceeds of Wanta's destabilization of the Russian ruble is only the tip of the iceberg. That Wanta's Ameritrust Group, Inc. was willing to settle for a mere $4.5 trillion, $1.575 trillion, which were taxable funds to be repatriated into the U.S. Treasury on the books, is still mind-boggling. It was calculated that the tax alone would earn as much as $200 billion per day in interest, again, on the books. The remaining $23 trillion would have been left to the thieves, and a gag order about the settlement would guarantee their escape. Instead, the $4.5 trillion settlement became an international ping-pong ball used by hundreds of banks who participated in the obfuscation and money laundering of $400 to $600 trillion in hypothecated and uncollateralized derivatives, hedge funds, and stocks in fictitious companies. And it was no coincidence that financial records related specifically to WorldCom and Enron, to name a few, were stored at WTC 1, WTC 2, and WTC 7, all destroyed on 9/11. So were the United Airlines, American Airlines, put options. Subsequent fires that occurred at Iron Mountain warehouses in the UK and Canada, along with an electrical fire at the old executive office building in Washington, D.C., in the vicinity of Vice President Richard Cheney's office, were signature events designed to destroy evidence. The Pentagon's ONI financial offices were also the target of a fourth disappearing airline on 9/11/2001, the day after Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld told Congress that the Pentagon had misplaced $2.3 trillion. The invasion of Iraq netted a nifty $100 trillion from the central bank, with the removers and witnesses again being eliminated to prevent the facts from reaching the public consciousness. During an 8-hour period in late March 2007, the entire computer system linking the Bank of England to New York and Brussels was offline for a software upgrade while customers could not access their accounts. After the software upgrade, it was discovered that some 220,000 ounces of the Queen's gold worth $4.594 trillion had been stolen. The Queen eventually had the gold returned, yet the Wanta settlement's Treasury direct deposit, negotiated in December 2005, still had not been remitted to his J.P. Morgan Stanley master custodial account. The Federal Reserve Bank in Richmond, Virginia, instead gave the funds to Bank of America, the CIA's proprietary central bank, and thus began the ping-pong match. However, the $4.5 trillion settlement soon visited Wachovia Bank, Goldman Sachs, Citibank, Chemical Bank, Bank of New York Mellon, Bank of Nova Scotia, Deutsche Bank, and a host of other banks, some say as many as 400, around the world, as the ping-pong match soon became a carousel ride. As the money laundering trail began to become unraveled, massive amounts of stolen money were found as far away as India, North Vietnam, North Korea, Germany, and the West Indies. Payoffs to international participants in the takedown of the former Soviet Union included members of the G10, minus the U.S., and soon became the focus of several emergency meetings held in foreign countries. As it was, or I should say, and it was no coincidence. Wait, let me back up here a second here. Now I've lost my place. Okay, this is not embarrassing. This happens sometimes okay, here we go. Yes, I was in the right place originally. As the money laundering trail began to become unraveled, massive amounts of stolen money were found as far away as India, North Vietnam, North Korea, Germany, and the West Indies. Now, I should have added to that Brazil. That came out somewhat later as far as people having been arrested who were associated with that. Still, there was not a lick reported by the U.S. mainstream media who were obligingly furthering propaganda efforts to silence dissent due to the findings of the 9/11 Commission. See, all these things were going on simultaneously, and we must consider that they happened that way for a reason. What did the government do while all of this corruption was occurring? They diverted our attention to more pressing matters by creating a series of lone gunman attacks and suicides at schools, universities, and malls across the country. The media sensationalized these murderous events while adding mindless gossip about blonde-haired celebrities, including Britney Spears, Paris Hilton, and Anna Nicole Smith. Eventually, the gossip consumed newscasts for days, weeks, and months at a time. It is ironic that a dysfunctional government and its equally dysfunctional mouthpiece chooses to present the dysfunctional lives of has-been or deceased celebrities as news. The government did not stop there, though. The nation's borders became their next target as they interfered with Border Patrol agents who had attempted to arrest a Mexican drug smuggler. Two of those agents are now in prison despite the fact that they had prevented a van loaded with 743 pounds of marijuana from being smuggled into the country. Despite the escape of the culprit after his having been shot in the buttocks by one of the agents, someone was able to accurately determine the weight of his cargo. One wonders who was about to accept and pay for such a large delivery of contraband. Any guesses? The focus of congressional hearings and public malcontent was then centered on illegal aliens and the jobs that ordinary Americans won't do, as millions of, quote, undocumented workers, unquote, stormed our borders. Politicians argued over whether we should issue driver's licenses, free health insurance, and social security benefits to legitimize this orchestrated illegal invasion of our sovereign territory, thereby destroying our economy from within while targeting the middle class. Then, while discounting rumors about an impending North American Union and the New World Order, a mantra parroted by George H.W. Bush, a.k.a. SHRF, no fewer than three times while in office, George W. Bush, son of a.k.a. SHRF, publicly disavowed any government intention to build a 16-lane highway through the United States under the auspices of the Security and Prosperity Partnership. This, while the highway was already undergoing construction in the state of Texas. These diversionary tactics did not succeed, though, in keeping those in the know from following Watergate. As representatives of some 160 countries sat in hotel rooms in and around New York City waiting for their participatory payments, Bush, Cheney, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, Treasury Secretary Henry M. Paulson, Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, and others were traveling around the world proclaiming that WANTA had been paid. The problem was WANTA had not been paid despite the numerous proclamations of our officials. During a 32-day period from late September through early October 2006, China had begun withdrawing $1 trillion per day from its CHIPS accounts, thereby crippling the ability of U.S. financial institutions from borrowing money in amounts exceeding $100 million. China began to pay for oil by using the British pound sterling as its currency of preference. On or about December 23, 2006, Christopher Story reported the arrest of Treasury Secretary Paulson in Germany after it was learned He impeded the Wanta settlement at Deutsche Bank. Subsequent arrests of former Fed Chairman Alan Greenspan and George H.W. Bush, a.k.a. Scherf, were reported by early 2008 after it was learned that some $44 trillion had somehow arrived in Israel. Again, nothing was reported by the corrupt media. World Bank President Paul Wolfowitz, having been outed in an apparent sting operation related to his Arab girlfriend receiving a pay raise, resigned his post. It had become apparent to the World Court and the Bank for International Settlements that Wolfowitz was facilitating the money laundering of the Wanta settlement. Two independent stories surfaced describing the attempted arrest of Vice President Richard Cheney in Australia and then again in his White House office, where several agents or gold badges were killed. The White House incident was explained away as the guns of two Secret Service agents accidentally misfiring at the same time. Now, I've got to wrap this up, but I encourage you to go to my website, directlightproductions.com, and read this. It's under Wantagate. And with that, I'll see you tonight on Evident Footprints and on this show next Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to TNT NewsHour on bbsradio.com. Special thanks to my timekeeper, Seth, and my audio engineer, Seth. Have a good day.